welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. I've been ministering this week on a message I've entitled Faith's Victory, and we are looking at Psalm 77. And there are some very important truths that we need as God's people to remember in the times of our battles, our spiritual warfare. And in case you perhaps haven't heard the broadcast, the last couple broadcasts, let me just give a brief recap. That first verse in Psalm 77 says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. He repeats it twice. And this sets the stage. He said, and he gave ear unto me. Now, he's going to share some very personal things, but he's letting whoever's going to read this or hear it that he did call out to God, and God heard him, which implies God also answered. But then he goes on in verses 2 through 9, describing where he felt emotionally. He said, has God forgotten me? He's so troubled he couldn't speak. He had a problem sleeping at night. He said, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Has he forgotten to be gracious? Has he, in anger, shut up his tender mercies? He's having all these questions. It's like, God, why aren't you helping? Why aren't you moving? Why am I going through this? I think we can all relate. And he's not specific, which is, I think, important, because he said, this is my infirmity, the King James reads, and that is a personal failing, a failure of some kind. It could be a sickness or disease or malady, or just a condition or state of poor or deteriorated vitality. He's just worn out. He's very weak. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes the warfare is so intense, we are just tired mentally, emotionally, even physically. But at that important, all important verse, in verse 10, he said, and I said, this is my infirmity. Putting in a modern English, this is just where I'm at. God, you see where I'm at. This is how I feel. And that word infirmity is, as I said, it's general, it could be physical, it could be a personal failing, but he is not in a good place. And he says, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Now, but I will remember, that's in italics, which is not like in the original, but the King James, which is this Bible, is my Bible, the one I'm using really for years as teaching and personal meditation, it's basically reiterating the verses that follow. Verse 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate, verse 12, also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. It's basically saying the same thing. Was it the first or second broadcast I shared different translations? And they leave out that all-important affirmative fact that if you have some, it just basically says of some of the different translations, this is my grief that the right hand of the Most High, his favor, his blessings has changed. Well, we know from Malachi, God does not change. And so this, we have to understand that he said, okay, God, I'm here. This is where I'm at, but I am going to think of your goodness, your faithfulness. There's an act of submission to the dealings of God. And there is, it's not an acceptance of grief and sorrow, but it's an awareness that God is a God of deliverance, and that he's teaching him, as well as all of us, when we go through hard times, divine lessons. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the scripture says, but God delivereth them out of them all. And sometimes God will bring afflictions or conditions on us that he appoints to us. Psalm 90 and 7 says, we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath we are troubled. Psalm 66 and 11, thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. And so this is his condition, but we know that God does not willingly afflict the sons of men. Lamentations 3:33 says that he does not willingly afflict or grieve the sons of men. So what should be our response? We should not despise it. Job 5:17 says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Hebrews tells about us not to faint when we're chastened of the Lord. And so we need to submit when we're going through a hard time. We don't like it, but we're saying, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you. We're responding in faith. And when this first happened to Job, he did that. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But as he goes on, and we don't know how long he was in that condition. I mean, we know when his comforters arrived, they sat there for a whole 7 days and didn't say anything because they saw how great his grief was emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. And then at the end of the book, a young man comes in who's heard the whole discussion that has gone on among them. And we see that he begins to charge Job with some negative reactions. He said he denounces Job's reaction to his plight, because after a while he says, I know I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. Why are you doing this, God? And he charged God with capriciousness and hostility. In other words, you know, God surely saw that he was a righteous, good man, and all of a sudden God's his enemy, and he's just being, yeah, he just felt like doing it. That's being capricious, you know. And he says, I'm clean. I'm without transgression. I am innocent. There's no iniquity in me. And he knows there was no obvious sin in his life, but all of us, while there may not be outward sin, sometimes our motivation, our attitudes are not right, and the Holy Spirit is dealing very, very precisely with us. You know, if you love me, God, why am I going through this? He charged God with injustice. Job has said, I'm righteous. God hath taken away my judgment. And he said, should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. In other words, he knew he was a godly man. He prayed for his children every day. And in well, we're going to look at some scripture to validate that. And then Elihu makes another charge. He's adding rebellion to his sin. And he's adding rebellion to his unsubmissive attitude toward God. And so he's basically, he doesn't understand what's going on, but he feels it's not being just. And the Amplified Translation says in Job 36:21, take heed and turn not to the iniquity, for this, and what is this? The iniquity of complaining against God you, Job, have chosen, rather than submission in affliction. And so we understand that we have to trust God. He's got his purposes, and he is going to bring to pass. And so Elihu extols the greatness of providence of God, urging Job to recognize God's purpose in his sufferings and to join others with in exalting God. And so, beloved, there's a submission to God. I'm not talking about the enemy, but there's a submission to the Lord that's critical in the battles we go through. Why is this so important? Well, for me, the entire book of Job, while it's very complex, what was going on? Well, we see it portrayed in the very first chapter. It has nothing to do with Job, really. It is a scene from the courts of heaven. And the chapter, first chapter begins by saying he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He avoided evil. Talks about his wealth, his family. And in verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now, check this out. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered, from going up to and fro and up and down in the earth. And then the Lord says, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man? This is God's estimation of him, one that feareth God and escheweth or avoids evil. And then Satan throws back with contempt, does Job fear God for naught? And basically he says, God, you put a hedge around about him, you protect him, you've blessed the work of his hands, his substance is increased in the land. And then he says, okay, God, you put forth your hand, touch everything that he has. He's going to curse you to your face. And then the Lord said, he took that challenge up. He said, okay, Satan, there you go. All that he has is in your power, in your hand. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so you see what was really going on. God was demonstrating before the courts of heaven, to the heavenly host, to demonic spirits, that there was a man who loved God for who he was. God, it's always been God's heart, beloved, relationship with his creation. And Satan says, oh, it's just because he's blessed. He was a very wealthy man. God stripped him of that, allowed Satan to do that. But he loved God for who he was, not because of the blessings of God. And so that's what Satan was charging God with. And so through this terrible testing that Job went through, his integrity, his righteousness before God, he said, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And so, beloved, this is a lesson, the lesson we can learn, that we must be submitted to God and know that through the hard times, even though it could be patently a work of the enemy, it's how we're responding. What's our attitude? What's our relationship with God at that time? That's the important thing that the Lord is looking at. And so, not only in the time of trouble do we pray, do we search our hearts for sin, we need to be submitted to God and to remember the works of God, all the wondrous things he has done for us. Well, there's still some more to share, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. I invite you to write and share your prayer needs. If you're going through a difficult time, our God will strengthen you, and I personally read and answer the mail and will send back whatever God gives to be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. I love you, pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.